Welcome back to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. As the creator and host of this podcast, it is critical to me to convey to you, our listeners, how much positive power you have inside of you right now, in this very moment. You have the power to change your life. And that could be changing it, like I had to back when I was 23, from a place of kind of being on a road to nowhere, kind of feeling hopeless and stuck, to being on a road to somewhere desirable, someplace good. It could also be changing your life from good to great. And it could also be changing your life from great to, I cannot believe how incredibly blessed and lucky I am to get to live this life. You have that power inside of you, and that is all you need to get started. The rest, you can learn along the way. I started this podcast as a way to bring stories of hope and triumph, as well as resources that will help you along that journey, whatever that might be, whatever your starting place is, or whatever your destination might be. My sincerest hope is that you find it valuable. So let's go. Here is this week's episode. My guest today is a very successful entrepreneur and author. He has written two books, The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart, which caught the attention of Arianna Huffington and led to him writing nearly 100 articles for the Huffington Post. And his second, most recent book is I Don't Want to Turn Three, written from the standpoint of a toddler. His passion is inspiring grandparents to get more involved in the lives of their grandchildren. His name is Mark, but he goes by the pen name of Gramps Jeffrey, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. Mark, welcome to the show.
Great, Bobby. I appreciate you inviting me.
Absolutely. And I'm very intrigued by the different books that you've written. So why don't you, before we dive into that though, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your career?
Sure. I started off in the business world. I was with the big businesses for many years, and then I became an entrepreneur and I started a couple of my own businesses. One was a chain of hair salons, which I built up and sold to some investors. And the other was the company that I finally took public. And it is one of the premier business-to-business sites on the internet where we sell in case quantity to small businesses all around the world. So when I took the company Dollar Days public, what was happening, our customer base were the moms and the pops who were surviving, thriving against the chains. So as time went on, these customers were asking me, how do you do things? What do you do? So I decided to write a book. And that book is The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. Here's a copy of it, if you can see it. And basically, it is a 15-chapter book on how to open a business. So wow. It's everything from, you know, where to find products to how you hire people, where you find locations, how to deal with vendors. And the last chapter is exit. How do you get out of it? So that was my first book, The Secrets of Retailing, I Don't Want to Turn Three. And then COVID hit, and I had a chance to spend a lot of time with my six grandkids. And out of that experience came my latest book, is I Don't Want to Turn Three.
Wow. And now how many, you have six grandkids. What are their ages again?
Well, they started when the book was started, they started at one, and the oldest one is now nine. So wow. But the majority of them are 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's a great age.
That is a fun age. And with The Secrets of Retailing, if I remember seeing it correctly, that book caught the attention of Arianna Huffington, right?
Yeah, she read my book. And so she asked me to start contributing to the Huffington Post. So I've written over 100 articles for the Huffington Post on all kinds of subjects, such as entrepreneurship, small businesses. But half of the articles are on nonprofit organizations and things like subjects such as the homeless and the elderly and education. And the reason I got involved in that was because the Dollar Days on the internet was so dominant with thousands and thousands of keywords and phrases that nonprofit organizations found us and started buying from us because we were wholesale and closeout prices, which gave them a chance to stretch their dollars and help more people. So yeah. It evolved, and half of our business became nonprofits. So I got very involved in the nonprofit world.
Nice. Nice. So during COVID, things kind of shut down. You got to spend more time with your grandkids. What was it that led to writing this book?
But living this past year because, of the pandemic caused by COVID and isolation, except for being able to be with my family, it gave me a chance to really watch and observe these grandkids. And I got to tell you, what a trip. All six of these kids have different personalities. The one thing they do have in common is, their sense of curiosity and how excited they get when they do accomplish something. And so watching them grow year to year really was how the basis of this book. What goes through a toddler's mind if parents are so desperate to understand? When does a toddler understand the difference between me and us? This book explores how a family finds all this out together.
Yeah. And I was kind of fascinated, Mark, when I was reading some of the stuff on your website and some of the reviews of the book and everything, when you mentioned that the difference between me and us, how did you see that play out in your grandkids?
Well, it comes to the real definition of this book is, at what age do you begin to take responsibility for your actions? Is it 3 years old? Is it 13 years old? Is it 23? I'm a baby boomer. I got plenty of my contemporaries at 63 that do not take responsibility for their actions. So that really is the theme of the book. And that's what it all came together is. How did these kids start to learn the responsibility of actions and what they do? And the book is really, it's based on a true story. I mean, these things happened between my kids. And the pictures in the book are pictures that I took. And I sent them to the illustrator and she made them into cartoon kind of pictures. But it really was how this whole thing played out during the 6 weeks I had these kids.
Wow. Okay. So I'm curious about the title. Why the title, I Don't Want to Turn Three?
Well, the question becomes when Jordan, who is the star of this book, is confronted with, I'm turning three, do I take responsibility? So that's really the title. But think about it. I don't want to turn three. I don't want to turn four. I don't want to turn five. I mean, my oldest granddaughter who just turned nine, Olivia, came to me last week and she says, I got a great idea for a book. I don't want to turn 10. I said, what do you mean you don't want to turn 10? And she says to me, she says, I got to start worrying about driving. I got to worry about how I'm going to drive a car. I said, that's 6-7 years away. Why are you worrying about it now? She says, and I got to start worrying about going to college and where I'm going to go and how to pick one. I said, that's another 9 years away. Why are you worrying about that? Yeah. So when you think about it, at every age, do you really want to turn 40? I don't want to turn 40. I don't want to turn 60. I don't want to turn 70. So there is a theme for all of us as we look at the past and think about the future.
Yeah. It's almost like, What am I stepping into and what am I letting go of at every age?
Oh, absolutely. I think about it, comparing when I was 3 years old and how things have just changed and understanding the world. When I was growing up, my parents didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have cable TV. They didn't even have a remote. I was my dad's remote. He's a son. go change the channel. Yeah. That was life back then. And that's how we are things better today with everything? So I'll just let your listeners kind of make that decision. Is it better today to grow up or was it better when we were growing up?
Yeah. And it's hard to answer too, because like I talked to my dad about this. He's 88 and we grew up in a small town in Illinois and we were right on a creek and right on a river and there were lakes all around. So that was summertime, right? You went and you played outside and there wasn't even summer school. I mean, there none of that existed. My mom stayed home and dad will say, would you want it to be different? And I'm like, I don't know anything else. But what I know, that was a special time where you got to play with your friends and just be a kid.
And when you think about it, and I had the same situation. I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and my uncle lived up the street. My grandmother lived two blocks away, and we were all together. But in today's world, that's not how it works. I mean, using music's example, I've got two grandkids here with me in Scottsdale, Arizona, but I've got two others in Austin, Texas, and I have two others in Orlando, Florida. And it is crazy. It is tough. How do you influence? How to become a role model? I saw on one of your previous broadcasts, you're talking about how to become a role model. Well, as parents and grandparents, How do we become role models for these kids now that are disconnected, which is completely different than we were growing up when our families were surrounding us?
That's right.
So, you know, I'll give you the key is how do you keep in contact with them? Because kids 2, 3, and 4, they're not going to pick up the phone and call you. They're living in the moment of what it is. So we as parents and grandparents have got to become part of the routine. And how do we do that? I'll give you an example of what I did, but I'm sure your listeners have other things too. So I found out with having all these kids, because I had all six of them here for 6 weeks during the COVID, is for some reason, all these little kids, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, they love dinosaurs. I don't know why, but if anybody has been exposed to these kids, their friends, they all love dinosaurs. They can name them for me. I mean, they got these long names. These little three-year-olds are telling me these long names. They can tell me who eats meat and what they do. You know, as far as I'm concerned, dinosaurs are small, medium, and large, but they really, you know, they go into this. So we found that there's a connection that we can talk to them through dinosaurs because that was their hobby when they were 2, 3, and 4 years old. So I've got half a dozen dinosaurs laying around our house. So we decided that when the kids left for Texas and went home to Orlando, that we were going to try to connect to them every night with the dinosaurs. So they had their routines. They took their bath. They read the books with their parents. And then what we decided to do is we were going to put the dinosaurs all over the house. So one night they were in the refrigerator eating blueberries. The next night they were at the sink washing dishes with grandma with soap on their noses. You know, the next night they were playing the piano. The next night they're walking up the stairs. So we did this all throughout 50 different nights inside and outside the house for the dinosaurs. So what happened is we became part of the routine. We became part of the role models. They would take their bath. They would read the books. And they would say to their mom and dad, let's call Gramps. What are the dinosaurs doing tonight? So they would call my wife's iPhone, Facebook, and they would say, where's Gramps? Where's Gramps? Where are the dinosaurs doing tonight? So that's how we were able to stay in contact with them after for the next couple of months after they had left us. And so we, as grandparents, have got to be the role model for these little kids. Because when you think about it, I really feel that this generation that's being developed today, these 1 to 10-year-olds today, are the greatest generation this country has ever produced. And why is that? Well, first of all, you know, they've got the internet. We never had that when we were growing up. So the information that they have on the internet and through their iPads and through all, they're just getting flooded with great information. They are just so much smarter than I was when I was 3 years old. So it's up to us as role models, as grandparents, to influence that and teach them about the other things in life. Because they are going to be this greatest generation. They are going to be the generation that takes this country, you know, to where it should be. And we, as older adults, have got to be part of their growing up. Because when you think about it, as we get older, as we add these decades onto our lives, we get wiser. We get wiser because we make a lot more mistakes. And as we make more mistakes, that helps us become better understanding. And that's the kind of information we need to be able to share with all these kids. You only have 18 years old with these young kids, maybe less when they turn teenagers, but we only have so much time and we've got to be able to influence and become that role model.
Yep. And what, there's so much in there, Mark. I was reading just last night, How Will You Measure Your Life? By Clayton Christensen. And one of the things he talks about is in this day, we're so used to outsourcing everything, right? We outsource everything at work. And we do that in our lives as well. Like instead of mowing the yard, we hire someone to do that. And that provides great value. But he also talked about, be careful what you are unintentionally outsourcing, because that's the role modeling piece. The less time that we spend with our kids, the less opportunity we have to be there when they're ready to learn. And that's a little bit what I'm hearing there with you, like the role modeling, being present in their lives. So that was one. And another thing, when you're talking about the 50 nights with the dinosaurs, I love that. That is something that to me sounds like it was a very intentional action that you guys took.
Well, going back to the comments on the role model, if you as an adult spend time on your screens and on your phone, I can guarantee you, That's what your kids are going to do.
Yep.
They imitate you. And that's why we've got to step away from that and have us imitate us on the stuff that we're used to when we were growing up as kids. So we have got to make sure that the kids are watching us. They're listening to us. I mean, think about it. If you say a cuss word to a kid 2, 3, or 4 years old, I can guarantee you're going to hear that cuss word 6 more times that day.
Yep.
I mean, because they're imitating you. Now, if you do a cuss word with a kid, first thing you do is start right after it. If you make a mistake, just start talking about things they like, bananas, blueberries, dinosaurs, you know, so they kind of get them off that. But they do imitate you. And that's why we have to set examples. And that's why we as adults have got to get them into reading books, reading kids books. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I want everybody to read my book, but there's 100 other great books out there that we need to do. We need to be part of a routine that they read their books. Now, why do we need to teach kids that reading books is important? Because, again, it offsets what they're learning on the internet, which is great things, but we've got to do that. All kinds of benefits to reading. One of the benefits to reading a book with a child is it gives you a chance to bond. Again, if you picture a 2, 3, 4-year-old, and it gives you a chance to actually have them sit on your lap and be with you one-on-one for that role modeling and start to bond with them on how to, what's going on with the book. Another reason we need to spend time reading to our kids is it supports listening skills. Now, you and I both know, as we grow older, the listening skills is our best skill we can have.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
You know, listening skills leads us to understanding, asking better questions, and really growing. So this is the time to implant into these kids listening skills. For that, even if only 15, 20 minutes, it's a great time to do it. But if you do it every night, that's a great role modeling kind of a thing. It helps with development of cognitive and language. So if in every book, there are words kids don't understand. So it gives you a chance to kind of explain to them, what is it? What is the meaning of all that? And another thing is the attention span. Kids bounce off the wall all day long. Get them in your lap for 15, 20 minutes. It helps with the attention span that they need to have as they grow older. So I encourage all of your listeners, make sure that they are pushing book reading to little kids because it helps enhance what they're learning on the internet.
Yeah. Mark, when you're talking there, it hit a chord with me. When I was a freshman in high school, our TV broke and my mom decided that she didn't want to get another one because she thought the TV was hurting our imagination. And my mom was like, if you could never say that you were bored, because if you did that, she was going to give you something to do and she wanted you to have an imagination. So what she did, and it was horrifying at the time, she decided she was going to read the classics to us every night at bed. And at first I'm like, oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding me. I'm already like a geek. This is just like putting it over the top. But I'll tell you what, that's some of my favorite memories with my mom. And she read like Robinson Crusoe. She read Dickens too. I mean, just all these different books. And it was funny because like she would come to a word that she didn't know and she'd be like, well, let's get the dictionary. Let's look that up. And it was treasured time at the time. And it's really treasured time now as I look back, because everything that you've said, like the listening and the imagination, because you had to paint the pictures in your mind. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing to have that as a gift.
Yeah, I mean, think about all these memories that are created
by
parents and grandparents. Now, and taking upon what you said about reading a book, step back a second and think about, you know, it's another way to challenge kids. Now, keep in mind that I believe that it's necessary to teach children how to think, not what to think. Okay. But we have to teach kids how to think. So using your book as an example, you know, before you read a book, and again, I'm concentrating on the kids that are toddlers, but you're exactly right with the kids that are, you know, that are teenagers. What do you ask the child, what do you think is going to happen in this book? Now, I recommend, again, all of us have 20 books laying around, kids' books. So let the kid pick it out. Let him pick the book out that you can read so that immediately they are part of that story. So before you even start, you ask them, you know, what do you think is going to happen in this book? And while you're reading the book, you want to make sure you ask them, who are these characters in the book? Where is the setting? Again, we're teaching them how to think, not what to think.
Yeah.
We want them to keep thinking about this. The does anything in this book sound familiar to you? That's another thing that you want to make sure you ask. Because again, the interaction, let them keep thinking. And then when it's all done, what was your favorite part of this book and why? Much like at dinner time, we should be saying, what was your favorite part of your day and why? Well, when you're reading a book, we should do the same thing. So again, the book gives you that chance to interact and teach children how to think. And if we did that every night, if we were consistent and did that every night, can you imagine how well these kids would be thinking by the time they're teenagers?
Yeah. Because what you're really talking, what occurred to me is making the listening and the learning really active. I like the, hey, where do you think it's going to happen? Or those types of things. So now this book, if I'm not mistaken, it's gotten very positive reviews and it's won some awards, right?
Yes, yeah, I've won a couple of awards. And I think the reason is because it really is a story that is happening, not just in my family. I think it's happening in every single family in the world. We all have to find out, how do we teach kids to take responsibility? How do we teach them to share? Now, we're talking about questions to ask your kids. Can you imagine? I'm going to give you a question to ask children. If you ask this child this question every day, how would it change the world? The question I want everybody to ask their child is, what did you do today that was nice to someone else? Okay. You know, think about that. And again, I'm looking at 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds. Here we are. These kids are fighting over toys. They're not sharing the dinosaurs. You know, that's the way it is. But if you ask your child, what did you do today that was nice to someone else? Now, the first time you ask it, they're going to look at you like, what are you talking about? Now, in the case of my grandkids, well, you're sharing your dinosaurs. You're not stealing your toys. That's what you did nice. You're sharing. Right? So if you start to ask that every day, the kids are going to say, well, I better do something to make mom and dad happy with me. So, you know, after a week or so, they're going to come back and actually do something nice for somebody else. And can you imagine if we can get this generation, this latest and greatest generation, to think that way, how it will change this country when they are actually adults?
Yeah, it's powerful. And I would say it's not just the kids. That'd be a great question for us to ask ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every day. And it reminded me of something from grad school when we were studying in neuroscience that, or it wasn't really neuro, they were talking about neuroscience. And they were talking about how we grow in the direction of the questions that we ask. And this would be an example of that. So with the, it seems like very involved in the, and I think in something that you sent me, it said it takes a village to raise this newest and greatest generation of kids. And that seems like that comes through loud and clear, that that's something that you're passionate about.
Yeah, what I'm really passionate about is I need to get my generation, these baby boomers, more involved in the raising of these kids. Okay. Well, first of all, you know, they're only young ones. Okay. You only got the short period that we talked about. Second of all, the future is so unpredictable. I can't tell you how many people my age we've lost because of COVID. I mean, I'm sure we all know plenty of people. You're only here today. You could be gone tomorrow. But it's not like there's just a lot of things in our way. So we as seniors, and I guess seniors, anybody over 60 or 70, I guess, we have got to get involved in the raising of these kids, influencing these kids, giving these kids the knowledge that we have, because again, we may not be here. We
that's
could
right.
be gone tomorrow. And so that's why we got to become part of the routine. And that's why we as grandparents, don't be afraid to initiate. You know, even though the kids may live in a different state, make that phone call, make that, because again, the kids aren't going to come after you. So, and so that's what we as older adults have to do. We've got to get involved and help these kids, you know, understand things besides what they're learning on the internet.
This is weird. I don't know if it's weird. It's, I'll just go with it. I was on the road. This was back in 2016. And I was in, I think it might've been Vermont, and it was for work. And we happened to stop, it was with a client, and we happened to stop at this little country store. And I think the salesperson needed to get gasoline or something. And I went in to get a water. And I happened to run into this guy who was, I don't know, he's probably 65, 70, something like that. And we just struck up a conversation. And at the end of the conversation, he said, I'd like to send you a book. And I'm like, okay. So I gave him my address and I thought, I'm never going to hear from this guy. And it was, I don't even know why it occurred to him, but it was called The Gift of Years. And one of the things, and he was telling me how it made such a difference on him and his wife, because it's about what happens as you get older. And one of the things they talk about in the book is that as we get older, we have an inherent desire to share with others what we've learned. And you mentioned this earlier, Mark, when you said, hey, we've made mistakes, right? That's how we've learned. And it's this desire to pass that on. And that's kind of what I'm hearing. And it seems like, is it when you say the baby boomers and mentoring, is that just with kids or is that any age? I mean, what's your thought on that?
Well, the reason I'm concentrating on kids is because 40% of the baby boomers that I run into really have no interest in raising their grandkids. They say, I've done my thing. I brought my kids up right. They're going to raise them. And let me go do what I want to do. Okay. And so my mission is to get them involved, get these 40% that say, hey, my kids will take care of it. I raise them. They're good kids. So I'm concentrating really on communicating with the younger kids because, we all think we've raised our kids. I've got four kids. I think they're the best thing around. So let me help them help their kids. And so that's what this is all about.
Because I think it's even more challenging today to raise kids than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I think that would lend itself to needing more or wanting more help in that area.
Yeah. Going back to the village concept is you need grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles, especially single family households, a single mom or single dad. They need all this because that's how kids learn. They see the different kinds of points of view. And again, if we've taught them to think, they'll decide who they really want to learn from. So that's why all of us have to influence them.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that occurred to me too, and this occurred to me in your example with the 50 nights with the dinosaurs, is that you were very proactive with it. And you also met the kids where they are, like using FaceTime or the different things like that versus waiting for them to pick up the phone and call you. And I think that's really important that we meet them where they are.
That makes a lot of sense. And the other thing to keep in mind, and again, that was my example, but when you show these kids love, you will teach others how to love. So if we show them our love, they will learn how to love. And so that's all part of this whole purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. It just reminded me, this was years ago. I was at a women's writing convention. This was in the 90s. And I met a woman and she was in her early 90s at the time. And she had a cell phone. And this was, maybe it was early, I think it was 2000. And she was using her cell phone and she was telling us how she got the cell phone. And there was another woman who was in her 70s. And she's like, why did you get a cell phone at your age? And she said, because that's how my grandkids like to communicate. She goes, I can't sit at home and wait for them to call me on my, she goes, I'm out, I'm doing things. And she said, if I want to be part of my grandkids' lives, she goes, I need to be active in how I'm part of their lives. And it was just really powerful because the woman who is 70, she kind of sat back and she's like, I've been sitting here being resentful because my grandkids never call me. Why don't I call them? Because you said it earlier, they're not going to pick up the phone necessarily. So I think that's a great message. If we want to be part of their lives, what action are we taking?
When you think about it, think about the memories that you have of your grandparents. Can you think of any?
Oh, yeah.
If we start thinking about how they have made an impact on our lives, and don't forget, kids, they remember the good stuff. They also remember the bad stuff. An example in my case is we had the two here from Scottsdale over for the weekend, a couple weekends ago, because their parents went on a vacation. And so they were with us and we did all the good things that grandparents do. We played soccer. We went outside. We're in Arizona and went swimming. We went to the park. You know, we played a little baseball. I got a Wii, which is 20 years old, but it's great because you're on TV and you go back and forth. They love that. So we did took them to the museum, went to the zoo, all this in a couple of days. That's what you always think grandparents are going to do. But on Saturday night, Levi was a really picky eater. His grandmother says, I want you to try this. And she said, I'm not trying it. She says, if you don't try this, then you are not going to be able to watch TV the rest of the night. So she became the parent. And he says, fine. So we take the kids home. And Olivia tells her mom and dad, oh, we had a great time. We went to the museum. We went to the park. You know, I had a chance to play a little tennis. And the only thing Levi said to his parents is, Grandma made me eat something I did not want. That's his whole memory of that weekend. So as an example, that's what it is with kids. So again, we as parents and grandparents, we want to create the memories, the good ones more than the bad ones.
That's right. They do remember it. I'm laughing so hard here. My little sister and I once, we spent a weekend with my grandmother, and she was like, you know, what you're describing there. And she put fruit cocktail in this little tiny bowl. There had to be four pieces of fruit in this thing. And my little sister Suzette refused to eat it. And my grandmother said, "You're not leaving the table until you eat that." Suzette was there for a good 3 hours. She eventually did eat it. But if you ask my little sister to this day, what do you remember? That'll be the first story that she tells you about that fruit cocktail. Oh my goodness. So Mark, we've talked a lot about the role modeling, and that makes me wonder, what are some of the lessons that you hope your grandkids have learned from you?
That's a pretty heavy question.
I know. You know, you don't have to answer.
One of the great things about being grandparents is you can give them back. Okay. Yeah. In other words, you know, again, when I had all of them at one time, I couldn't wait till they went down for their nap so I could take a nap. They wear you out.
That's right.
So you can always give them back. And so I think what you just really want your grandchildren to realize is you want them to be able to know that they can think outside the box, that they can go beyond the day in, day out things they have to do to think about other things. And everybody's looking for a legacy. And I guess that would be mine, is hopefully that I'm teaching my kids really how to think beyond the day in, day out things that they have to deal with.
Yeah. Well, and I think that if you think about your example from earlier with the dinosaurs, that was totally outside the box. So your actions are demonstrating that to them. So I love that. And then before we wrap up, one final question too is, what would be a final message that you would have for that 40% of baby boomers, or baby boomers in general, or just grandparents in general? What would be a final message that you'd really want to make sure that they walk away hearing?
That we are influencers. You know, in today's world and social media, you hear all about the influencers. They're the ones that get a million people following them on TikTok and so forth. But grandparents are the influencers for young children today. And we have got to absorb that role and use it, because we've got to think about, what is this country going to look like in 30, 40 years? And we have got to leave them with a part of the good stuff, so that they look at this country as a glass that is half full, not half empty. And I think that's the legacy of the baby boomer generation.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you said that too, because it's easy for people to see what's missing from the glass instead of what's there. So I love that. So if someone wants to learn more, well, first of all, how can people find your two books?
You can go on to Amazon, and you can buy it, both books on Amazon. The children's book you can find on Barnes & Noble and about 100 other sites around the internet, or come to my site, GrampsJeffrey.com. And if any of your listeners want to talk to me about anything, please email me. It's GrampsJeffrey@gmail.com. And I'd love to be involved.
Perfect. And I'll put all that in the show notes. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on and for writing the book and for sharing your message, because I think the more that we all get involved, the better result we'll get.
Well, thank you so much, Bobby, for inviting me.
I love the passion that Gramps displays for this topic. Here are my three insights for thriving. I loved his suggested question for that we ask kids, and I would include ourselves. But the question is this: what did you do today that was nice for someone else? As I mentioned in the interview, we grow in the direction of what we focus on and the questions that we ask ourselves. What an amazing focus that would be. Insight number two. Something that I really took away is that we need to be proactive in how we interact with grandkids, or in my case, with my nieces and nephews and my great nieces and nephews. We can't sit back and wait for them to reach out to us. And finally, insight number three. Something that I often think about relative to my nieces and nephews is, what do they learn when they are around me? And I want to be really clear on this. I'm not trying to teach them anything. I'm not sitting down with them and saying, "I'm going to teach you a lesson," or some such thing. What I mean is that, what do they learn by the way that I live my life? Not what I say, but how I live my life. What I hope that they see is I'm the author of my life and I own the good and the bad that goes with that. But I go after my dreams. And that would be my sincerest hope, my sincerest wish for them, as well as for anyone else for that matter, but to go after the life of our dreams, not to wait. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and for listening. If there's a topic that you'd love to hear more about, drop me a note at bobby@unyielded.net and I'll see what I can do to put together a guest. And if you get a chance and you haven't done so already, if you could do me a favor and leave a positive review on Apple, I would greatly appreciate it. Until next time, I hope that you have an amazing week and make sure that you thrive no matter what.